You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. This morning, we're going to be talking to Alec Marshall, who is the head of marketing for Moto America. So welcome, Alec.
Hi, Will.
Good. So tell us a little bit more about what Moto America does.
So Moto America is the American Championships of Motorcycle Road Racing. It took over It took over where the AMA road races were back in the 80s and 90s, and they kind of faded out. And then we reinvigorated the sport starting in 2014 and just finished up our fourth season this year.
Really? So tell me what a season is like. So,
a season is like this traveling village of 1,500 people who go all around the country and run championship races in basically every major racetrack in the country.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And these races are motorcycles?
They are. They're motorcycle road racers. It's a lot like MotoGP is for the world championships. We are for the American championships.
So how many people race in these events?
So we run about five races a day, and in each one there's between anywhere from 18 to 35 motorcycles racing at one time.
So tell me about the role of marketing in this.
So it's an interesting role. on one level, we're a startup company. We're only 4 years old. We are running like crazy, just like every other startup I've worked with. But on the other, we're starting up a sport. And this reinvigoration of motorcycle racing, to return it to its glory days, it's a tough path, because on one level, we have to bring in new audiences, and the motorcycle industry has changed in the past 15 years. The content industry has changed drastically in the past 15 years, and a lot is different from when motorcycle road racing had its glory days previously. That said, our audience is growing really, really, really quickly. And I think that it's very telling, based on a lot of the content preferences of young people, based on a lot of the changes in our population and transportation, and kind of a lot of changes in the sporting landscape, period.
Would you say there are more people riding motorcycles today than there were 5 years ago?
So the industry statistics say no. The industry statistics say that there's a crowd that's aging out. That said, there's a brand new crowd coming into it, and I'm working to do two different things. One is to introduce that crowd to motorcycles and motorcycle racing and kind of that entire lifestyle. But there's the other side where, for example, I'm never going to play tackle football ever again, but I watch it every Sunday. And so we can introduce this entertainment to a new crowd that may or may not ever have an interest in owning a motorcycle. So we're running with both goals very, very firmly in mind.
So you have the entertainment crowd who's going to watch, and then you have the people who are going to actually participate.
Exactly.
So, tell me about marketing. What kind of, motorcycling has certainly changed in the last 20 years.
Yes.
Marketing has changed. So talk to me about how you see marketing changing.
So I've come through a lot of different places in marketing. And I have the oddest background for a sports marketer that you've probably ever heard. I came through tech marketing, and started my marketing career at Apple, and moved from that into content and entertainment, with my last role previous to Moto America being marketing the new iteration of the Grateful Dead, and working with the festivals and things like that. The two-sided flavor of this is that on one side, it's an event company, and we have to get people to the events in order to sell tickets and gain that revenue stream. But on the other side, it's a content company. And so growing our audience is working in two different directions. One It's getting people who come to events. And that crowd tends to be over 40. They tend to have a family that are looking for family activities. And we become a weekend full of entertainment for them. On the other side is the content space. And the content space, as we all know, has changed drastically. And so there's broadcast TV kind of as an anchor in the corner, but where the audience is all sitting is now all digital. And so we've had a lot of work to bring those two audiences together, whereas our digital audience is growing by 100% year over year. Our event audience is going to cap out at a certain point. And so we're trying to show people what the races are like in online environments and in TV environments, and then bring them to the track to actually experience what it feels like to be at a race.
So when you think about event marketing, bringing people to the events, what's the most difficult thing for you?
The toughest piece of it is actually the fact that we go to 10 different places around the country, and each one of those has a different audience, and each one of them has a different way of reaching those audiences. And so from my perspective, to market in rural Alabama versus marketing in northern Wisconsin, those are drastically different pieces of strategies. And that has been, that's one of those ones that you really only learn once you're in it.
So what have you learned about?
That there's still room for a lot of the old school marketing tactics, being
like
local newspapers, being on billboards, meaning having posters on store walls and getting in front of people. The type of field marketing that it requires to show people that there's an event coming and then have them imagine what that event is going to be like, it actually reaches back to, you can't just rely on Facebook in order to be able to do it. You have to get out there and be part of the community.
You're actually having people walk around and stick on posters on probably on telephone poles.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. And that's not something that has been part of the marketing regimen in the past 10 years. You know, you didn't even think to put up posters.
So in a rural area of Wisconsin, what are your strategies?
Yeah, that's what we've learned, is that we do carry a pretty significant digital budget. We do a lot of advance work on getting those impressions out there. But at the end of the day, somebody has to show up in the town and put up some posters, mm-hmm. and meet people and talk to the local bar owners and restaurant owners and everybody who benefits from having this event happen, and make them a partner in getting people out there.
What about the events themselves? You mentioned families. So is it more than just the race?
It is, and that was a big part of what I brought in coming into Moto America. The original goal for Moto America was to return American riders to the World Championships, and that has a very race specific drive to it. But what my goal has been was to increase that by one degree of separation. And so if we talk to a race fan, that race fan brings one new person each year, and if we can do that, we double our audience every time. And so what we've done to encourage that, we bring music to the events, we bring kids carnivals to the events, lots of activities for the family, a lot of things to do when the bikes aren't on the track. And that's been a big growth area for us, and it's actually turned out very, very well. The people who normally would come on a motorcycle now come in a car and bring their kids along, and that's going to be really great for the industry.
So this becomes a weekend event or a Saturday event for...
Exactly, and a lot of them even camp out over and stay the entire 3 days. And that's, you know, speaking to the leaders in the motorcycle industry, that's exactly what we need. We need kids to see the bikes and experience what that looks like so that it becomes the notion that later on they might want to do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're showing them, getting them infected with the motorcycle virus, right?
Exactly.
Oh, nice.
That's our best hope.
So talk about content company. Now, is this all video?
It is very largely video, and we have three different types of video. We have the live races, and those are televised, and we stream them. And then we have the recaps and replays, which actually accounts for a significant portion of our total viewership. And then we have narrative video that where we're telling the stories of the riders and kind of introducing people so that they understand who to follow and who's winning and who has the personalities inside of our paddock.
So who does the narrative for you?
We produce all of our material ourselves.
So these are not motorcycle celebrities.
We're working on making motorcycle celebrities.
Oh, creating motorcycle celebrities. Okay. Well, I saw some on the 405 last week. There were like 60 or 70 people stretched all across the 405, and all the traffic behind was slowed down. And then some of these folks stood up on their seats and pulled up their motorcycle and were on the rear wheel.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. going 60 miles an hour down the street. That's just amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty gutsy on the 405.
Yes, it was. Maybe we should direct them to Moto America. Yeah. Get on the track.
Use their powers for good.
So tell me a little bit about what impact you think marketing is having on, how do you measure your impact?
I mean, for us, it's very easy because our being a content company, our measurement is audience, and so reach and impressions are come back to our core KPIs. How big is our audience, and how fast is it growing? And you know, in a lot of marketing, that's different because then you have to turn that audience into customers. And we actually sell the audience to our sponsors and to our advertisers.
All right. So as you move forward, what kind of goals does the company have?
So the first one was what I stated was to start bringing Americans back into the world championships. It used to be an American-led sport, and as it faded in popularity here in America, it grew in popularity in Europe. And so now most of the top racers in the world are European. Now that said, in the past year and a half, we have surpassed a lot of the world championships in terms of popularity and growth rates. And now we're sitting and bumping right up behind MotoGP, which is the top level of world championship series. And we're actually pulling a lot of riders from the world championships over to America to race in the American championships.
GP is Europe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's an interesting growth piece because we met our goal and have now surpassed it and are looking at what happens next. And as far as my personal goal for this series is to take it to the top and most popular motorsport in the world.
All right. So how do you measure that, the top motorsport in the world?
Again, it's audience and brand awareness. We came off of a previous series, and so the AMA races were the previous notion, previous iteration of this. And as we revived it into Moto America, it is teaching people who used to be an AMA fan that we are the new series. And at the same time, we aligned our all of our rules and regulations and standards to the European pieces. And so now we're actually competing on an even level. We're talking the same terminology. We're dealing with the same bikes and moving the series up to a parallel championship.
So what have been some of the obstacles that Moto America has had to face in growing this?
A top one is kind of the decline of that previous series and where that went astray, and teaching people that we're a little bit different. We're more aligned with the world championships and their standards. And then on the other level is that we're introducing the sport to an entirely new audience. The young people, you know, if you were born in the last 15 years, you've never seen American road racing as an extremely popular sport. And so to look at it that way, that's a brand new audience who's considering a new sport and considering becoming a fan of that. And that's a challenge.
So, but there has been a lot of focus on what is it? Mountain biking and motor bike.
Yeah.
Now that's different.
It is in your like supercross and mm-hmm. yeah motocross. It is different, and it's one of those things that we celebrate our differences. A lot of our riders come out of motocross and become a part of Moto America, but the. In terms of events, it's a radically different piece. And so we race on a 2.5 mile raceway, which is spread out over acres and acres and acres of land, whereas motocross isn't a stadium event. It's closed in, and there's a lot more show to it. Mm-hmm. And so as we market to people, it is a similar crowd because they both like motorsports and they both like two wheels, but it's a vastly different experience, and so that's been one of the things that we've had to work hard to show.
Anything else?
Any other
difficulties that you've had?
That's the chief one, and the last is that. Our audiences tend to be different. Our online audience is young, and they're very distracted. There's a lot going on for youth and entertainment today, and as you compete with the entire internet for things to watch, we fall into a small sliver of that. And then those people aren't the people who come and buy our tickets generally, and so that's an additional challenge. The cool thing that we've been able to do is we have amazing content, and when we put out a video of a pass or a dramatic crash or something like that, we never have to do any sort of marketing on it because the video itself sells. And then as we have changed to this event to become a more entertaining event for 3 days of somebody's life, that has actually gotten the word out. And so that challenge, I feel like, is behind us, and our next one is just growing and scaling that.
Good. Well, I want to stick around and want to talk a little bit when we get back from the break about the structure of Moto America and how it came together with these four fascinating people with their own backgrounds.
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll be right back to hear more from Alec Marshall in Moto America right after we hear from our sponsors.
Hi, it's time for another tip from Sandler Training. Traditional sales training teaches techniques on how to eliminate stalls and objections. Some are fancy sales moves, while others are programmed responses. Sales is a conversation, and I don't know how you can memorize every possible response for every sales situation. Also, the prospect has usually heard these responses before and has been turned off by some fancy sales move. When you really think about it, the only person qualified to address the stall or objection is the prospect. Ask the right questions and you will eliminate stalls and objections. And that's another tip from Sandler Training, finding power through reinforcement.
So, welcome back to Pilgrim on the 405, where we've been talking with Alec Marshall, the head marketer at Moto America. So Alec, tell me about where Moto America came from. There's four people who are really key to this, right?
There are, and so I'll start with Wayne Rainey. And Wayne was a three-time world champion motorcycle rider, mostly in the late 80s and 90s. And on his fourth round, he was winning his fourth world championship, and he crashed, and he broke his back and was relegated to a wheelchair. Interestingly, his love for the sport didn't go anywhere, and he jumped right back in and started leading the AMA and working with those races. And that was kind of the end of those series, and that's where his dream of moving more and more Americans into the World Championships started fulfilling itself. He partnered with Chuck Axland, who is another longtime veteran in road racing. Grew up around it. His dad was an engineer, and worked on the racing teams. He lived the life for a long time. Traveled with Wayne, and became a part of that same drive of returning champions. They ended up partnering with Terry Cargis, who is a director at the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles, and Richard Varner, who has a background in hot rod racing and rebuilding. And the four of them are kind of this magic partnership that were able to put these things together. And within ideation to their first event was only about 6 months. And that to me is just incredible by itself, to be able to put 100 or so bikes on the track, to get all of the sanctioning rights, to put it all together and then market it, is just a huge feat for inside of a year. And then that was 4 years ago, and since then we've basically doubled in size every year.
Wow. So they had to go out and recruit people like you.
They did. So they had to recruit people like me, and they also had to recruit people to ride the bikes. And that's a big deal, because that's not an inexpensive hobby. A super bike, once it's fully built out, is about $100,000. Mm. And we wreck three or four of them every weekend.
Mm. Surely they're insured.
They are insured.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're pretty good at putting them back together.
I see. So how did they go about recruiting all these people? That's 30 or 40 for each race, right?
Yeah. I mean, part of it was they set up a really good purse. They set up a really good program. And there's a lot of support for our riders. I mean, when we start out a business with the sole goal of pushing American riders into a world championship, then you can tell that our spirit is with those guys. And they can tell that. We work very closely with most of the motorcycle manufacturers, and brought them in and got them believing that by racing these bikes, they show off their products very well, and by bringing this new audience in, we have a chance to actually save the industry. I mean, when you're seeing Harley Davidson coming out and being very public about their difficulties and about having to move manufacturing and things like that, then it's very telling on what that industry looks like. And they know very well that if we don't introduce this to a new audience, there won't be one.
Right.
Which is really interesting, because just getting super philosophical and looking back, humans have always raced, and we've always raced what we're familiar with. And so, as transportation changes and we're riding around in robot pods, and nobody's a driver anymore, where's the racing going to be?
Oh. They even have racing camels in the Middle East.
Right? They do. We were just talking about that.
So let's get down to the nitty gritty of marketing. There is an enormous tsunami of information and entertainment that's available. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing to grab eyeballs?
I believe that the most important core for what we can do is to put out quality content and put out something that is naturally and inherently interesting, and then wrap that in a story. Because if we can catch somebody's eye, maybe with a crash, everybody looks at a crash. If we can catch their eye with that crash and they say, okay, who is that rider? Is he okay? What happened there? And they move from that, from their initial interest into a storyline that generates additional interest, then we've won. And so a big part of what I've been doing and how we tell our stories is we make sure that the writers' faces are up there. A lot of times they look like robots and a part of the machine. And what we want to do is say, no, this is a human who's getting onto a bike and going 190 miles an hour. And what do they have to do in order to get there? What are their thoughts? What are their motivations? How old are they? Who are they? Where do they live? All of those questions become a part of the story. And as a marketer, I think that your most successful sales come when somebody buys your story. And then they'll come back and they'll be part of your family from then on.
Yeah, that whole notion of story seems to be something that makes it much more human.
I agree. I totally agree. And I think that if you can do that, then all of a sudden it's relevant to more people. And so, you know, the focus used to be on the bikes and on the machines and things like that. And that makes it relevant to a certain crowd of people who are into that. I think once you start telling the human story, then it changes it. And I think that's something you're seeing across the board in sports and the way sports are marketed. If you look at, HBO running the Hard Knocks series on football, that's telling the stories of the athletes and what they're going through during the offseason. And that makes those people more familiar during the on season, and I think that that's become a core technique for developing an audience and nurturing that audience into a customer.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see the large number of entrances into the entertainment world with Amazon and Netflix, HBO, all creating new stories.
Exactly.
And the enormous amount of access that they have to eyeballs because of that. I mean, when you talk about binge watching, that's either watching all of the entire story in one weekend, or you're caught up in it for two or three pieces of the story every night.
Right.
I mean, that's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, if you can think of how busy our lives are, and to be able to grab somebody and hold them still for 8 hours, that's actually a feat.
Well, there's something very different from the sitcom mentality of the story.
Exactly.
I don't see sitcoms being produced by Netflix or Amazon.
Right, that whole 20-minute bite, I don't think it was enough to capture people. And I think that, you know, when there were three channels and we had to watch one of three channels, then the sitcom worked. But what you're seeing and where the attention's coming in all of these new digital platforms getting in is they're looking at live sports and news. And those are the opportunities to hold on to people for a long period of time. The serial content that is right now getting all of the money inside of Netflix, I think that is one of those things that while it's new, it's very valuable. Once it's old, it's very difficult to make it more, to keep it valuable. And we have the same sort of deal. It's when it's live, it's very valuable. When it's a replay, it's a different sort of content. And we have to look at that in terms of our distribution.
Well, the feelings about the sitcom and that whole 20-minute series on mainstream TV, that's very thin now.
Yes.
I don't remember what it was like before, but when I look at it now, it's very thin.
Right.
And they're still producing it. People are still doing it, and they're even bringing old casts back to do a new series, but it's still very thin.
Right.
Versus, we just finished watching, my goodness, what was it, eight seasons of Suits. I mean, that's deep stuff.
Yeah.
And that really is captivating. There's something about, I don't know if it's voyeurism or or if it's empathy or compassion, but there's a lot more powerful feelings in those. The House of Cards,
right?
That's a very interesting difference.
And you look at the budgets involved with something like Game of Thrones, and it's more budget than major motion pictures now. Mm. And that's what it takes, though. It's what it takes to hold on to somebody and grip them. I feel lucky that we have an advantage that sports naturally does that. And even inside of sports, you're seeing a decline, and all of the major ones are having to come back and remind people that there is a story here.
To me, right now, news is in the phase where it's all about bleeding. I mean, it's all about the tragedy.
Yeah.
And it's a repeat. I mean, once you see the clip of the 500-mile tsunami coming in, you don't need to see it again and again and again and again.
Right.
But that seems to me what has captured news is, what are the biggest, baddest things that happened today?
Exactly. And that's what I was saying, is the first, that really should just be your first part of the challenge. The next step is to tell the story.
Yeah.
And use what you can to capture somebody's attention, but then fill them in.
Well, capturing attention, that's the old Madison Avenue thing, right?
Right.
If it bleeds, it leads. or maybe we change it to, if it's a significant story, it will capture attention, and then we can do something else with it.
Exactly.
What I'm finding interesting, I mean, when you say your goal is to put American motor racers back into the national championship, that has something to do with goals. It has something to do with achievement. It has something to do with discipline. I mean, that doesn't just happen.
Exactly. And, you know, when you talk to people about motorsports and racing, they always call them drivers and riders. On our races in particular, they're riding about 100 laps a day, averaging well over 100 miles an hour per lap. And the physical feat that to do that is very intense. I mean, our guys work out all of the time, and they are athletes. And then on top of that, to have the mental focus to never lose track of where you are and what you're doing while you're riding that, it's huge. And that was a story that wasn't being well told. And that's one of the ones that we're focusing in on, is what makes this athlete really good at what he does, and why does he deserve, or she, because we actually had our first female podium this year, and she's a 14-year-old girl. Mm. and what makes these people perform on this level that they deserve to be world champions?
Well, I saw that in America's Got Talent. As they move forward, they begin to pick up. Well, they don't pick up. I mean, they go out and spend money, time and resources on putting together, a 3 or 4 minute clip about this person's life.
Oh, for sure.
And that to me is, while some of the stunts that they do are just unbelievable, but at the same time, the life story is really captivating.
It is.
What I want to see, and I'm really pleased to begin to see it in places, is that people are picking up on the values that these folks have. Mm-hmm. It's not just they happen to have won the race. It's not a lot of cheering. It's look at the values that they have. And that's something I think that's been missing from our media, is what is it that makes a champion?
I agree.
What is it that makes a first responder? What is it that makes a doctor? It's not the sitcom.
Right.
It's values. It has to do with discipline, has to do with concentration, has to do with overcoming obstacles, because not everybody is born into a world of moto racing or being a doctor. I mean, it takes a lot of struggle to get there.
I couldn't agree more, and yet that struggle, that's what makes it relevant for more people, because they can identify that with that, and they can see what they've gone through, and it's not just that shiny moment where they're crossing the finish line. It's been years and years of practice to get there.
And what I see that you have is you have the ability to not only attract eyeballs, you also have the ability to inspire people.
I hope so.
Well, tell me about that. When you say you hope so, why would you think you don't?
It's one of those things that it could be intimidating. The piece of this that has to be overcome is that not everybody's going to get on one of these bikes.
Right.
And if that is the only point of identification that you have with your audience, then you're not going to succeed. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where people have or series have failed in the past, is they counted on that. And so in introducing new audiences to this crowd of people who are doing what they're doing, I'm really trying hard to make them as relevant as possible to as many people as possible. And yes, that would inspire hope. And that also helps them, you know, look at how do I work harder in my life and be better at what I'm going to do, whether it's motorcycle racing or not.
It's certainly how, but it's another piece of it is that I can.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's possible. And when part of that story is, look at where this person came from.
Yeah.
Look at how they overcame. Look at what they did. I had a fellow on my show a couple of years ago who lived in Manhattan Beach. And at 18, he said, I'm going to climb Mount Everest. He had never climbed a mountain in his life.
That's
and within 5 years, he was on top of Mount Everest. Right. And telling that story had to do with discovering that a belief that I have that lots of people share is that if one person in the world can do something, anybody can do it if they have two things. They have an indomitable, unstoppable will. There's nothing, and they believe they can. All right? I believe I can, and I'm going to do it. And then number two, they have a teacher who's willing to show them how.
Exactly.
And that message, to me, is one that can come right out of moto sports.
Without a doubt. And basically, every one of our champions' histories has both of those. And it's interesting to dig into them and find out where their challenges were and who helped them through it.
Mm-hmm. And then to have that message somewhere along the line, maybe toward the end of, and you can too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not on a motorcycle, but you can too.
Yep.
I mean that's something I think that we're missing right now in the culture, is this awareness that there's a gap between where I want to be and where I am. And I could certainly live in my comfort zone and stay where I am, but if I want to be something that I'm not right now, or I want to have something that I don't have right now, that's not a wish.
Right.
That's a dedication, a commitment, and a belief that I can do it. And then there's a plan that I execute. And if I have the right resources, I have the right people behind me, I have the right people teaching me, it's a slam dunk.
Right. Yep. And you have to find those people.
Yes.
They're not just right behind you.
No, you can look for them, and that can be part of the journey. And that it's not a hope.
Yeah.
It's not a wish. It's opportunity. It's preparation meeting opportunity.
It is. It's a drive.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's inspiring to think that something as American as motorcycling can be participating in that same kind of sharing of values and demonstrating the result of values, demonstrating the result of people's work to achieve.
It is, and that's literally the story that we're out there trying to tell.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, what is it that you would like to tell people if you had a mic and you could talk to everybody in Orange County? What would you say?
Well, I have a mic and I'm talking to Orange County.
All right.
I'm going to say find your story. And be a part of that, and we have a lot of great ones to offer through our motorcycle series, and I'd love to see people learn about it. It's something that when you get into it, it really bites you and it sticks with you. And I was not into it when I jumped in, okay. and now I have my favorites and I follow it all the time. And I've seen that over and over and over in the past couple of years.
Now, do you have a race that's local?
We are working on our schedule. We haven't announced that yet, mm-hmm. so I can't do that yet.
Did you have one?
We've raced in Monterey, and that's the most local to Southern uh-huh. California, and we raced in Sonoma.
Uh-huh. Well, if people wanted to learn more about Moto America, what would they go?
MotoAmerica.com. It's the best, and then we're covered on just about every motorsports journal or publication that there is.
Wonderful. And this is Moto America is in Costa Mesa, right?
It is.
That's wonderful. So we're affecting all of American motorsports from right here in Costa Mesa.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, thanks, Alex, so much for being with us today and taking time from your, I'm sure, busy schedule to be with us to talk about all the wonderful things that are happening in motorcycling and racing. To bring it back so that it's a significant part of the American culture.
Thanks so much for having me, Will.
Well, and there you are, another way of a thriving business in Southern California that is making its way and helping to put Americans back into the motorcycle championship of the world.
Been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.